It was almost 4 weeks ago when I knew something was wrong. I woke up, my back was out of whack. It was tight and hurting. That's nothing new for me. I've had a long time problem. So it's somewhat common. I had to commit to getting a little more discipline with my back and stomach exercises with the hope that that would get it under control, but it did not work. And a couple days later, I was playing tennis and I realized I couldn't really lift my head for the serve, so I had to stop. Now I was playing against Sam Stormont, who was killing me that day, so stopping was not really a bad thing. A couple days later, the real trouble started. In the middle of the night, pain surged from my neck and my side and my arm to the point I was only able to sleep about 90 minutes sitting up in a chair with an airplane neck pillow. And that week, I had two more nights like that. I got in to see the doctor. He put me on some medication to get the pain under control before we could do anything else, but the medication did not get the pain under control. So at one point, I had to go to the emergency room, and I was very blessed to get great care. Fortunately, I was only in there for about 3 hours, and they gave me an IV drip for the pain and ordered an MRI to look at my neck. Right after the ER, I rushed immediately to my best friend's bachelor party weekend, which I will not lie, that helped me a lot with the pain for about 48 hours. Then I had to come back to reality. And I realized that my insurance company was rejecting the doctor's prescription for an MRI. And we did battle for about 4 days. Five doctors had agreed I'd need an MRI, but the insurance company said no. And it took about 4 days to get them to change and get permission. And during that time, I did my very best not to go postal. I had a whole fantasy of going in and getting up on the desk in the hospital office and giving my big speech about taking back control of our nation. Send me down to the MRI now. We can do it. I did not do that. I was like, oh. So eventually I got the MRI, which confirms I have a herniated disc, a pinched nerve, which causes a lot of pain and discomfort, sometimes 24 hours a day. And I'm on strong drugs, which give me some nasty side effects. And now I'm in physical therapy with a focus on traction. I can tell you that through all of these struggles, I spent some days where my spirits were very low, with pain and fear and exhaustion. I mean, I was down and out. And I can tell you that through all of these struggles, I cannot overstate how important my Unitarian Universalist faith and this community have been to me. I have rested in assurance. All these decades of Unitarian Universalism in me reassure me, even during all that intense pain, major amounts of goodness remain abundant and available in the world. This is in me. I have relied on meditation, breath, and prayer. Fortunately, Krista and I were in this on a program of 11 days of 11 minutes of meditation every day, and that helped me a lot, including to let go of what I couldn't control, which was a lot of powerlessness. At least two nights when I was deep in the pain, my prayer was, God, please help me. And I don't believe anybody's listening, but that prayer was very helpful to me. God, please help me. This faith helped me to focus a lot less on why is this happening? How did this happen? It's happening. This faith helped me. What next? What can I do? What can I do? How can I ask for help? What can I do? That's Unitarian Universalism in me. And the emails, cards, and words of support from you all have meant the world to me. Thank you very, very much, everybody. I tell you this because I believe it's important to share our stories of faith, and this is one for me. And in this, I've heard a lot of your stories of faith. A lot of you have been saying, I've been through that, something like it, here's how I did it, here's some lessons and a lot of sharing that I have benefited from. It's kind of along the lines of the Buddhist meditation master Chogyam Trungpa, who says you have a better chance of resolving fearful problems when you're willing to open up, when you're willing to share your heart with others. As Unitarian Universalists, it's good to share our heartfelt stories of faith in many different formats. And another word for sharing about our faith is evangelism. My parents brought me up Unitarian Universalists from the time I was in diapers, and I really believe that I never heard the term Unitarian Universalist evangelism until I was 26 and paying to go to seminary. And the first couple of times I heard it, I thought people were joking. Period. And you may be if you're new, you might think I'm joking right now. I thought, we are Unitarian Universalists. We don't do evangelism. And then I heard more people talking about it again and again, and I thought, oh, okay, I'm here in seminary, and some of these people are crazy. No. And I know there's a more pastoral, professional way to say that, but I couldn't think of what it is for this sermon. I grew up believing evangelism necessarily involves annoying, intrusive, offensive activities. All those times answering the front door to strangers who would attempt to trap me in a conversation. They'd had all their training on how to do it. You know the drill. Their goal is to show you the truth that they have found, usually about Jesus Christ. They want to save you from damnation and sin. And like many of you, I've developed some real good skills at staying as far the heck away from them as possible in airports and parks and on corners, street corners. But the more I heard people talk about this idea of liberal Unitarian Universalist evangelism, I actually was turned around and convinced. And as many of you know, I've been on board with this for a long time. The message is pretty simple. Reality is people from all kinds of religions and groups are working to determine whose values, principles, beliefs, and perspectives will determine the shape of public and private life. And we Unitarian Universalists have a heartfelt conviction that we have a saving gospel. On this 50th anniversary of the March on Washington and Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech, we should be proud to know we've been connected to that dream. We were deeply involved in the civil rights movement, and we still know some of the dream's been fulfilled and some of it hasn't, and we have to march on. No time to rest. Many of us have been active giving testimony about marriage equality in Montgomery County, where there's a clerk up there who's given out same-sex marriage licenses. I got a chance to talk to the commissioners about that at a public hearing. We have a dream for the human enterprise that we are working on. It informs and transforms us and others who we come in contact with. Evangelistas is a Greek word, which means the bringer or sharer of good news. And we Unitarian Universalists have a dream and a vision to share with people. Now, in the meantime, as you heard in the reading, I've learned this is not a new idea at all. During the 1800s, Calvinists had a stronghold in many parts of the country preaching fire and brimstone. And the Universalists were active in spreading their counter message. The version of the gospel they were preaching is God's love is universal for all people, and all people are saved and will be saved. And that was radical then. And it was a major balm to the soul of those who were deeply disturbed, had a deep existential angst that they themselves or their innocent children would burn literally in a hell. That this was the conversation almost daily in religious life in America then. Before Iowa became a territory in the 1830s, more than 30 Universalist circuit riders were out there. Reverend T.C. Eaton recorded in his diary, traveling 12 counties. He went 9,000 miles. He broke it down, 3,000 miles on horseback, 2,000 in buggies, and 4,000 in the railroad. The man was working, sacrificing his body for this message he believed in. At one point, there were 8 Universalist churches in Philadelphia. Heartfelt conviction to spread this message was converting into building communities because they mattered. We branched out internationally. Universalists evangelized in the Philippines and England and Scotland. And the Unitarians spread the word in Korea and Japan. In the 1800s, women became prominent in international evangelism. In the 1870s, great story, Caroline Sewell became the first foreign Universalist missionary. She preached throughout Scotland, planting and dedicating churches. And in 1880 in Glasgow, she was ordained, very possibly the first ordained minister in all of Europe by the Universalists, a woman spreading the faith. Now, whether you're talking about Philly, Iowa, Philippines, or Scotland, all these folks were making themselves vulnerable, the spiritual theme of the month, by putting it online, sharing what was of critical importance in their hearts. So what became of Unitarian Universalism in the modern era? Not too long ago, there was a poll that showed about 60% of the U.S. population have never heard of Unitarian Universalism. We have about 167,000 adult members of our 1,000 churches, which translates to we are about 1/20 of 1% of the population. So you might think, of course, not many people know about such a small group. It gets into some chicken egg debates about people not knowing about us, and we're shrinking proportionately to U.S. population. So cause and effect, here's one thing a lot of us agree on who look at it. Many liberal religious folks overreacted to the negative experiences we had with conservative evangelism, and we now do not share enough about our faith with others. I've been in many conversations like this, I'll bet you have been too, where we're with other folks from other traditions talking about beliefs, and it feels like they're coming in an imposing way. I'm in one right now with two of my cousins. Sharon sent out an email about some faith question that's being debated in NPR. Her brother, my cousin Stephen, who is a conservative Presbyterian minister, sent out 6 sentences from the Bible. That's all he did. He didn't even put any of his own words. And the only thing they say is, you accept Jesus and go to heaven, or you don't and you're damned. I don't want to get involved in it. You know, I'm so annoyed by his response. So I'm not probably going to share something back that the group might want to hear about a liberal faith perspective on it. But maybe now I'm preaching the sermon, I have to do that, don't I? But you know the story. We don't want to offend. We don't want to get in conflict. We stop short of sharing. But we know, you know, what do you do when you love a restaurant? What do you do when you've seen a great movie? Tell a friend, because maybe they might want to go check it out. We want to share. And we know we can do the same with our religion. And I know many of you do. And we're growing in this. But, you know, we have to admit, sharing about our faith makes us vulnerable. Somebody might think we're foolish. Somebody might reject us. We might get in more conflict, and it might hurt. But, you know, another way to do it, choosing to be vulnerable, choosing to share about your faith can change your relationship with fear. It can bring you beyond fear. So maybe I just have to, you know, put it out there and not worry about what the response is. Just let it, it's not mine to worry about. Just share. But it takes practice. So, as we do, this is your spiritual practice. If you're spacing out and getting tired, wake up right now. I have a little assignment for you from our small group ministry curriculum on vulnerability. Assignment to consider: reveal something about yourself to somebody. Reveal something of yourself to somebody. Choose a friend or someone you trust and tell them about something that you're reluctant to share about. Now, this could be something that you find difficult because it's a so-called weakness of yours, or maybe you have some shame around it. But also could be something you're having a challenge with and you could use some input on. But just share. That's the assignment. And reflect on the experience and others like it. And I think when we reflect on this and get good at telling our stories in circles of trust, we realize that our faith matters. And I invite you to think about this. When have you shared something that mattered to you and you were vulnerable around and it helped you to share? Think back. And when have you shared something that mattered to you that you were vulnerable about and it helped somebody else? Helped her realize she's not alone. She's been struggling with that too. Vicky shares that she came here as a single mom, so worried about finances and loneliness, she thought nobody could understand. Fred shares that he came here without his wife at first, at a time when they had been in fertility treatments for 3 years, and all they had to show for it was 4 miscarriages and a load of heartbreak. Sally shares that she came here after her mother died, and she realized that if she did not find a spiritual community now, she most probably would die very alone. Lou shares that he came here with 5 months of sobriety. He was participating in Alcoholics Anonymous and found that very, very helpful. But somewhere in his gut, it was telling him AA alone is probably not going to provide all the spiritual and social resources that he would need to have a fulfilling life sober. These are our faith stories. And I'm telling you, you know, they go on and on and on and on. And many of them include a moment when being a part of a Unitarian Universalist community allowed us to connect with the sustaining power of the Spirit of Life. We have had moments, at least moments, and in some cases days and weeks and years, when we felt saved by unconditional love. You didn't have to trade anything for it. It just came to you like grace. Our faith has convinced us that we can rely on this Spirit of Love and that we can be effective channels of spreading that love. This is a good religion. And what I'm saying this morning is not only it's a good idea to expose our religion to others, it's our duty. Our Unitarian Universalism teaches us that we should help others and try to make the world a better place. You received it. Probably somebody here shared it to you. And probably you kind of owe it back to the world now. And in some cases, we cannot help folks who are lonely or sad or feeling out of place because of their unique religious beliefs, or lost and looking for a way to make a positive contribution to the world if we do not tell them who we are and our story and what we believe, and that they are welcome to join us. I believe with all my heart that my life is better with Unitarian Universalism than it would have been without. Are you better off today than you were when you first came to this church community or found Unitarian Universalism? If so, feel that gratitude, cherish that gratitude, and continue being generous and giving back to the world. Unitarian Universalist minister Tony Larson says it like this: it's not enough to say, we hope the UU church meets your needs. We must also say, I hope you come by the UU church and help us to meet the needs of the wider community. Blessings be. Amen.